Also, Chuck Richardson had a 30-year-old nephew that passed away this past week, so keep that family in our prayers as well. Number 251 will be our first song. We'll sing this song. David Williams will lead our opening prayer. Then our first three song leaders will be Ben Richardson, Lance Green, and Justin Law. Number 251, let's all sing out. I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm happy today in Jesus Christ.
Yes, I'm happy today because He saved me all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. I'm singing today, oh yes, I'm singing today in Jesus Christ. I'm singing today because He saved me all my sins away, and that's why I'm singing today.
Jesus Christ, I'm living today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm living today. I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm singing today in Jesus Christ. I'm praying today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm living today.
So David will lead us in prayer, then Ben Richardson, Lance Green, and Justin Law.
Pray with me, please. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for You revealing Your word to us, telling us about the plan of salvation, and Your Son carrying it out, making us all one family in Christ. But the words "in Christ" carry it all. We know that we have an opportunity to become Your children, or we can spurn Your invitation, live this life, and be lost forever. We thank You for the new sister that we have in Christ. We know that she will diligently work because she's been instructed all her life in how to please You. And we're confident that she will do so and raise children to Your kingdom. We pray that You look after David Snyder, that he just had a hiccup or something, but not a stroke. There's so many beautiful people in this world, and we're all vulnerable to the things of this life. But we can all be guaranteed when we leave this world to spend eternity in heaven with You if we listen, read, and meditate. Because that's what it takes to know what You want. Go with us and be a father as we should be gracious children to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Get out your silence, turn number 232, number 232, When All of God's Singers Get Home.
No soul, what a song of delight in that city so bright, will be wrapped in heaven's fair dome. How the ransom will graze, how His songs in His praise,
when all
on earth, on sadness on earth, disappointments of rapture. Song number 576. 576, Faith is the Victory.
Encamped along the hills of high, ye Christian soldiers rise, and rest the battle hand in might, shall bear the glowing skies. Against the foe in wealth we know, let our strength be held. In his victory we know, that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is a victory, oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road, the saints of love, with shouts of triumph run. By faith in life, a world in breath, sweep on our every hill. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes.
Number 129, all the way my Savior leads me. Let's sing. All the way my Savior leads me.
Promise in my heart.
Going to give number 322 a try.
Bring Christ your broken life. Bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin. He will create anew, make whole again. Your empty, wasted years He will restore, and your iniquity
Let's Dare to stand like Joshua. We are bound for Canaan's land,
standing by the way. Who shall lead us on the road? Choose your king today. Dare to stand like Joshua. Dare to say the word. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. When the dark red sea of doubt billowed in our way, then he parted every way, so we will today. Dare to stand like Joshua.
This is Psalm 113, and it's to the tune that we know, Lord, we come before thee now. Praise Jehovah.
Heavenly sunlight. Walking in sun.
Hallelujah.
Number 626. 626. It is well with my soul.
Do mi so when
it's like a river rushing down my way, when sorrows I see billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast sought me to save, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Those
Banner of the Cross. All three verses. There's a royal banner.
Marching on, marching on, our Lord.
10 will be our invitation song. How about this?
I hope you would prefer it. Think about starting over and what it would be like. A lot of challenges in that. Many do. As people make good run of their lives, as we oft are, able to do and capable and likely to do. But what if the starting over meant your demise, your death? In other words, when you decided you were definitely for God, this is it. What I'm going to do now is the final act, and that's all. There's no more. I don't get another day. I'm not going to get more days. I'm not going to get more weeks or months. I'm not going to get time to recover some of the lost relationships that I had. I'm not going to be able to go back to my parents and say, you know, I am sure sorry that I have treated you so poorly or so unkindly, unfairly, or other friends or family or spouses. What if you're starting over at the very moment that you were to start over was your death? Well, we have a man such as that in the Bible. Turn over with me to Judges 16 to start with. You should be familiar with him. He's a character sketch of strange proportions in a lot of ways. When we see him, we think, how in the world could this one be one that God would use? Why would God give such a man so much strength and power to do so good? And of course, the objective was to destroy the Philistines. And God gave them every opportunity to do that during the days of the judges, and they would not. He gave King Saul that opportunity as well, and he would not. And finally, his faithful man David, but it took another 100 years before. And this man, as I understand, based upon his independent power, had great strength and could have done much good compared to the armies that God would raise, even the small army of Gideon. Can you imagine what he could do compared to Gideon's army? And sadly, he wasted it all. You might imagine that God would just simply strip him of all that power. Okay, I see what you're doing with it within the few years or a year or so or whatever that he had, and said, I'm done. You obviously don't care to do the will, my will. Well, the fact of the matter is, God is patient and persevering with us. And he knows that it is possible because he wills, he wants, that is, all men to come to repentance. He wants all men to fall down upon their knees. He's not willing for any to perish. 2 Peter 3 and 9. And it was not any less true for Samson. So, verse 1. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there, and he went to her, and when it was told to the Gazites, saying, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. And they kept silent at night, saying, let us wait until the morning light, and then we will kill him. And then Samson lay until midnight, and at the midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the city gate and the two posts and pulled them up along with the bars. And then he put them on his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the mountain, which is opposite Hebron. And after this it came about that he loved the woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now you will remember that this, of course, came after that authority. The wife that he so chose, which, well, he wanted his parents to give him, still wasn't even the one that he should have been. But nonetheless, he's in great anger. And now guess what? He's going out to the harlots, and no less than the Philistines, the ones that they should be against. So the Lord of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, they knew exactly what they had. You see, you got to remember, even godless people have shrewdness. Even godless people know things. And by the way, if you are a chosen vessel of God, do not think that there will not be powers against you. And you better be ready, and you better be ready to be faithful in all conduct. But the Lord of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, now entice him, and see where his great strength lies and how we may overpower him and that we may bind him to afflict him. Then we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. And so Delilah said to Aunt Samson, please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh cords that have not been dried, then I will become weak and be like any other man. And then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh cords that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And now she had men lying in wait in an inner room, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he snapped the cords as a string of the toe snaps when it touches fire, so his strength was not discovered. There's a couple of problems here. Let's start off with the man that should have been righteous. Why should you be playing with fire? What game is there to be playing here? You're taking what God has given you, and you are treating it as common. We're learning throughout our studies that we examine here in these Old Testament stories that God has holy things. That is true when he gave them the law in the wilderness. God wanted holy things to be remained holy. Common things could be common. That's why Peter so vehemently in his vision, as the Lord was telling him to get up and eat there in Acts 10 on that rooftop of Simon the Tanner, he says, no, Lord, no, Lord, no, far be it from me. I am not going to take that which is common and put it in that which is supposed to be holy, and in this case, his mouth. He got the lesson, didn't he? And here it is, this man who can see, should be seeing everything as holy, is treating it common and trite. That's the first real issue. They're only going to do what they have the power and will to do, and they will. Obviously, they're at this point hopeful. They don't know, but they're going to take any bit, any way. This woman is obviously designed to entice him, certainly with the womanly guile that is possible. No surprise there. But you know what? Samson's not completely fooled, is he? Samson really does know that she's toying, that she's wanting some information, and so he uses it as an opportunity for gain. Again, I will ask you, is this a man of character that you would have put in the book on the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, he's listed in that, isn't he? And he would do this until finally he breaks down and he gives her what she wants and he is entrapped and he is again captured by the Philistines. He is cruelly treated. He is made blind. His eyes are put out. And now what is this man? What is he like? Remember, as we've already seen, that Samson would call on the Lord in chapter 16, actually. Notice in chapter 16 and verse 28. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time. O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. You might say, hey, son, you've had your chance. You've had your opportunity. What do I owe you? What are you going to do for me? Why does it matter now? You've humiliated my people. You've humiliated your brethren. You have caused these despised and unholy ones to blaspheme the name of the Lord. But we'll read on. Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he braced himself against them, the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bent with all his might. He bent with all his might so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more. It's worthy of repetition. Think about this. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. And then his brothers and all his father's household came down, took him, brought him up, and buried him between Zohar and Eshtal in the tomb of Manoah, his father. And thus he had judged Israel 20 years. More died in the last righteous cause. What we learn, dear friend, is that starting over may be our final act. Our starting over may be painful. It may be that what you do starting over doesn't require your death. I've talked to folks that are in prison, and I've studied with some. Some are in there for a great deal of time, even for life. I spent a little while in visit in Angola, the state prison in Louisiana. It's one of the largest prison systems in the world, and everyone in there is either life or death. There's nobody getting out. And to talk to a young man, or talk to a man my age, and understand that. Dear friend, those people God loves. Now, they may continue. They may continue in that very condition and never be free again. So it may not be as even Samson, who was killed in the process of his repentance. But nonetheless, we need to make sure that starting over is what it's all about, if we're there. That's the lesson. If you are in a terrible condition before the Lord, you're blaspheming Him in all of your action, in all of your deeds. You're giving good cause for the righteous ones to be defamed. So what an example. No, Samson's life was terrible, and we can learn a great deal from that. And he wasted the energies that God and powers that God had given him. We might argue that God could see ahead and knew exactly what he had, and he very well could. But it doesn't change anything because he didn't have to go down that road. Samson could have repented along the way at any point. But this arrogant man didn't learn until it was his last. And he recognized that it is time now. It is time to straighten up. And so he did. He did at that moment. He finished well, didn't he? He finished well. That's why he's listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. You see, dear friend, the race, as they say sometimes, is not to the strong, right? But it's to the endurer. It's a marathon race, not a sprint. So that we are on that path. We recognize at times we got to suck in and take a little bit of breath. Sometimes we may have a little pause, and hopefully we're not going off the road, but we're staying on the course. And then we keep on going and we endure. That's what we're called to do. You see, so what we conclude with is that our finish is the most important thing. Now, starting is good. If we do well, that's great. But we can learn from Samson that if we do mess up our start, that we can finish well. We got time. That's why we preach. We preach God's repentance. We preach to all, no matter whether they're young, like dear Lila, or whether they be older. I don't care if they're 80 or 90. It doesn't matter. If you still have breath in you, you can understand. You have time. The race again is to the endurer. Again, will we endure? So, let us think about that. Pray with me. Oh, gracious Father, we fail you too often, actually. Too often do we fail you. And we promise at times to never forsake you, and yet we do. And so we pray at this time, if we have ever challenged you or tested you, as we should not, that we would repent, that we confess that we are wholly, again, blameful, and that we need your forgiveness. We pray that your faithfulness will sustain us, and that we will grow stronger in our faith, in our adoration, in our devotion to you. And so we have this day, and so let us use it wisely. We have this day, and help us to be better at it. And we pray most especially that we will finish strong, that we'll give heed and attention to what it will take to finish, and that our aim and our goal will always to finish strong. And this we pray in Christ's most blessed and holy name. Amen. May I impress upon any of you who are here, who haven't even started yet, who are obviously in sin and blaming God, or at least disregarding Him, and which is essentially the same thing as blasphemy. It really is. If you know what to do and you do not do it, then you are telling God, I care not at all. Can I get you? to change your heart? Can I impress upon you? Can I beg you to change? Repent. Repent of your sin and come before God in humble obedience, willing to confess his great and good name, recognizing Jesus did it all, and that through him you have hope eternally. And so for that good confession, you're ready to be immersed for the remission of your sins. Will you do that tonight? Please, I beg of you. Finish. And that's the thing about it. We talk about finishing tonight. This could be the very night in which you have, and only this night. And so if you will answer the call this night, you may have finished well if the Lord shall return, or you're not to live another day. Think about that. You need to finish well. Will you repent? Have you started off the race and not been continuing in it? Can I get you to consider that as well? Again, come to God and repent. Get back into the race of endurance. Be like Paul, who can finally say that he fought the fight and he finished the race. And that crown of righteousness lays up there for you, just as it did for him. Because he says it will for all of those who love his appearance. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. So therefore, repent. May I encourage you, consider these things. And please come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Why did Jesus
For those who didn't have an opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, you'll have that at this time. Then after that, we'll sing a closing song, number 302, and then Jerry will lead us in closing prayer. We'll be dismissed.
Is there anyone who needs emblems?